Here we go. Today, first fruits, the favor factor. That's the title of the message. This is one of my favorite messages to preach. Every year I get to preach on first fruits, and honestly, it is one of my favorite that the Lord just has taught me a lot in this area, and I want to bring it to you. And so I'm just so excited. I want to give you a little history on this whole idea of first fruits. It may be new to some of you. You're coming in here, maybe it's your first time, or you've been here for several weeks, and you're like, what is first fruits? Well, it's kind of like it sounds. It's the first of more to come, the fruits to come. But I want to just take you on a little history journey. Crossroads began in September of 1998. And God called us to this community, and we came out of obedience, and there were several families that joined us, and it was a small beginning in our basement. But it grew out of that, and we were in seven different rented facilities, this being the seventh. And during that time, we were able to save up a considerable amount of money. I mean, we look at it today, and it wasn't that much, but it was considerable in that day and time because we're in rented facilities, only using it basically on Sundays. And then we were able to get an office space and so forth. But we locked into this place in 2005, thinking that we'd be in here in 3 months. Well, 2 years later, we walked in. Yeah. And it was challenging, but we knew that God had us here. We actually took a lot of that nest egg that we had built up and put it into this building as well in order to get it to the where we desired. So we came in here. We landed here in February of 2007 in this place. And we've been here ever since. We still, this is still a rented facility. And as a church, we really struggled financially for until 2015. Now, the interesting part about it is our family didn't struggle because God, just the way that we managed our finances, and even though the church was struggling, we didn't struggle as a family. In fact, we even started a side business during that time that helped us to get some extra cushion, which was a blessing and helpful. But the church really struggled during that time, and it was not a fun time. It was a wilderness experience. I mean, but the thing I will say is that God was faithful, and He taught us things during that time. And if we hadn't have gone through that, I don't know that we would be where we are today, having not gone through that challenging, tough time. But one of the things that turned the tide was in 2015. Now, I do understand that during that time from 2008, and the economy tanked and obviously went down, and some industries really didn't recover until 2013, 12, 15. So it was a long recovery during that time, and I'm sure that had something to do with it, but it was greater than that. It was something God was teaching us. And in around 2014, 15, we invited some apostolic fathers in, some that those are people that know more than you know, and they began to teach us about first fruits. And so we began to listen, and I began, and some of here on the church that we're a part of, we began to understand to a greater way. And I began to practice first fruits personally, and then I began to teach it in the church. And I will dare say that that teaching in itself turned everything around for Crossroads. And since that time, we have grown to become prosperous and generous in ways that I could just only imagine. In fact, right now we have seven streams of income coming into the church. I never planned it that way. But yet God just says, because you honor me in the first fruits, then I'm going to bless you. And you're going to be blessed beyond measure. In fact, the lighting system that we have, where did that come from? It didn't come out of the tithes and offerings. It actually came because two folks, one was Wanda and the other was Robert Henderson, did a video that I would consider went viral. They got close to 1 million views. And out of that, we began to monetize that on YouTube. And 1 year, $18,000 came in off of YouTube. Wow, and that's our lighting system today. I mean, sometimes it kind of goes, yeah, amazing. And so God has means that we don't tap into at times. I know the lighting system goes out on us a little bit at times, so we got to cast the YouTube out of it, but we're going to get it. No, we know what's going on, and we're going to get it fixed. But it's just been amazing of how the Lord has and we still have that trickle of income coming in. It's not nearly as much as it was that 1 year, but, you know, that's just the way it goes. There's ebbs and flows, but still God is faithful. So today's teaching is really personal, as well as I'm just excited to bring it to you because I know that you're trying to understand how does God bless His people. And one of these is through first fruit. So that's a little background of what we're going to dive into today. First fruits, the favor factor. And So let's just jump in here today. And number one, giving protocols taught in the Bible. I'm going to talk generally about how the Bible teaches us to give, and then we're going to dive into first fruits in particular. But first of all, in the Bible gives us protocols in how to give in order to be blessed, in order to be a blessing to others. It's not just for ourselves, it's also for others, and to give God glory. I looked up the word protocol. It says it's a system of rules that explain the correct conduct and procedures to be followed in formal situations. Quite a definition. But yet, as we look at how God called us and teaches us to give, we find that He has protocols. And if we follow those protocols, there will be blessing that will come into our lives, not just financially, but also in our soul, also in our relationships, also in wisdom, also in vision, also in strength. There's just a whole host of God's blessing that finances is only one small part of that. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So Jesus is teaching about giving. And first of all, He says that if you want to experience this shaken down, pressed down, running over in your lap, more than you can handle, then you're going to have to start giving. And then He says that the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. In other words, we have a part in this. And that part is the measure of our faith. Rachel talked about risk in her opening testimony. It's the measure that we risk because we trust God. He says, the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. In other words, you measure out a little bit, you'll get a little bit back. You measure out more, you'll get more back. You measure out a lot, you'll get more back. That's not a gimmick. That's not an obligation. That's not a trick. That's a reality. And yet it comes out of our heart and through our faith. It doesn't come because somebody mandates us to do it. It comes because we're in relationship with God, and these are the protocols that He set up in order for us to be blessed. It's apart from the world's economy that He would actually show us how to navigate through when all the other world might be suffering or be depressed or in fear, but we're joyful and happy because God is moving in our lives. And so Jesus said, with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. And so as we give, heart matters, faith matters, attitude matters. All of that matters to God. In fact, the givers that He loves the most are the joyful ones. He loves hilarious givers. He thinks that's amazing that when we give and it's hilarious. Even those that are billionaires today that we look up and we think, wow, how did they get all that money? If you dig into their life and their life decisions, all of them are givers. Now, they might give because of tax reasons and shelters and all that stuff, but if you look at people that make a lot of money in the world, they're givers. They have foundations and things that they give to. They give a lot away, and as a result of that principle, God honors that even in the world. And so it's not just a Christian principle, it's a creation principle. In other words, anybody can do it, and anybody can benefit from. Now, we in the kingdom believe that we have a greater purpose than just starting a foundation or helping a few people. But Jesus said, the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Rebecca Reed was here, sings on the worship team. She came to me after last Sunday's message, and she said, have you ever heard of quiet quitting? And I said, no, I've never heard of quiet quitting. What is that? She said, it's a new thing that's happening, that employees are actually deciding themselves that the work that they're doing is in proportion to what they're being paid. And therefore, if they don't think they're being paid enough, then they quiet quit on their work. They actually stop doing out of their own understanding, I'm not being paid for this level of work, therefore I won't do it. Wow. Well, it doesn't surprise me in the culture that we live in that we have quiet quitting going on. But somebody that would do that, I would ask the question, would you like somebody to do that for you? Would you like the surgeon, if you're having surgery, halfway through, decide, I'm not being paid enough for this surgery, I think I'll just quiet quit in the middle of the surgery. Would you like that? Sometimes we need to think through that which we think is a good idea and ask the question, would I like somebody to do that for me? It wakes us up and gets us outside of ourselves. There's three forms of protocols that God outlines in the Bible. They are first fruits, tithe, and offering. First fruits, tithe, and offering. And so all three of these are mentioned in one book of the Bible. I like that as a pastor. When I can go to one place and all three are there, I don't have to go all over the scripture to find it. And it happened in Nehemiah. You say, why Nehemiah? Well, you'll find these three also mentioned in Exodus when you're coming out of the out of Egypt into the promised land. You'll find these three mentioned in Deuteronomy where they're heading, where it's a second generation. Exodus was the first generation. Second generation, Deuteronomy, they were getting ready to cross over. And then you also have the prophets naming tithes, first fruits, and offerings. And then Nehemiah is that they were in captivity for 70 years. And then coming out of captivity back into the promised land, again, they mention these three ways of giving, first fruits, tithes, and offerings. And so we're going to look at that this morning out of the book of Nehemiah. God just hits the refresh button for his people coming back into the land. He's like, this is giving 101. And that's what we're going to dive into here in point number one. First fruits, Nehemiah 10:35. The word first fruits in the Old Testament literally means a promise to come, meaning that first fruits is that which you get first, but the expectation is there's more to come. So that the word literally means a promise to come. In the New Testament, the word first fruits means a beginning sacrifice. So you make a sacrifice in the beginning, and then the Lord says, out of that sacrifice, I am going to bless you because of that beginning sacrifice. So we see in Nehemiah chapter 10, I hear a buzz. Yeah, projector. All right, there we're good. And so, we're good with that. You got an outline and we're all great. So here we go. In Nehemiah, in chapter 10, verse 35, and when I read this, it's like the word is going out from the leader and the people's like, yes, we will do this. This is kind of what we're walking into. It says, we will also assume the responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord each year the first fruits of our crops and every fruit tree. So that's first fruits. Tithe, then, is stated in verse 37 of Nehemiah chapter 10. Now, tithe is a different focus than first fruits. First fruits is a promise to come. Your future's in front of you. Tithe is that you're already being paid. You're already receiving the crop. And what that does, our tithe actually positions us and protects us. So in positioning, in Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, it says that the tithe positions you under an open heaven, that the windows are opened up and God pours out into your lap. So the tithe keeps us positioned that God is pouring out. And then it also protects us in that passage from the enemy devouring that which God has given us. I've been robbed sometimes of a blessing that God has given us. And the enemy just came in and robbed that. But tithing keeps that positioning and also the protection in place of the Lord. Let me read here in verse 37. Moreover, we will bring to the storehouse of the house of our God, to the priest, the first of the ground meal of our grain offering, of the fruit of our trees and of the new wine and olive oil. And we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, for it is the Levites who are called to collect the tithe in all the towns where we work. Now, it mentions kind of a combination of first fruits and tithe, but it does mention tithe in there. And then finally, the third way of giving is offerings. And that's mentioned in verse 32 of Nehemiah 10. That's really the abundance. When God begins to bless and you have more than enough, then you're ready to give offerings. You're ready to give offerings, free will offerings, wherever the Lord points you to give, you have the ability and the freedom to give. Whether it's people in your church or ministries happening in your church or outside the church, again, you have the freedom because the blessing has come in abundance over your life. It says in verse 32, we will assume the responsibility for carrying out the commands to give a third of a shekel each year for the service of the house of our God, for the bread set on the table, for the regular grain offerings, the burnt offerings, the offerings of the Sabbath, and the new moon feast, and the appointed festivals for the holy offering, for sin offerings, for made atonement for Israel, and all the duties of the house of our God. Again, it talks about offerings, separate from tithe, separate from first fruits. And these are mentioned in Scripture and over again. And then we get into the New Testament, and we find that sometimes, because it's not talked about as much, that perhaps it was an Old Testament practice and shouldn't be considered in the New Testament. Well, first fruits is actually mentioned 6 times in the New Testament. And really, it has a different focus than the Old. The Old was more on the blessing of the household and material and financial. But in the New Testament, it actually talks about spiritual blessings that we would receive. And so what I do is I combine the both together. Because in the New Testament, even though it focuses on spiritual blessings, when you are blessed spiritually, you're also blessed materially. And it may be in different weights than each other. It's not the same weight for all of us, but there is an attachment that connect there together. Sometimes first fruits is not taught in churches today. It's not even mentioned. Sometimes you just have tithe and offering. In fact, somebody told me out of the Catholic Church that they thought it was all one word, tithe and offering, tithe and offering, tithe and they're like, wait a minute, that's 2 separate things. And then he realized it was separate, not together. Sometimes churches will teach first fruits from the standpoint of you give your tithe first before you do anything else. Now, that's a good practice. That's a good habit to do, but that's not biblical understanding of first fruits. And so many times that it's not taught. Another thing that's kind of interesting is that in the New Testament, when I'll just tell you, Cornelius, because he gave to the poor, God heard him in heaven. In other words, his financial gift got God's attention in heaven. And that's oftentimes not the way that we think. But yet it was Cornelius's case. He wasn't a believer yet. He didn't know Christ, but he gave to the poor. And God says, because he's given to the poor, I'm going to send Peter to give him the gospel so that he and his household can get saved. But it was because he was giving financially that God heard him in heaven. And that's the case. Our money has a voice in heaven. And we don't often teach that, but that is a reality in God's kingdom and God's economy. Now let's look at the context of first fruits. Looking at the context of first fruits, we're going to dive into the book of Leviticus. Now I'm telling you what, when your pastor preaches out of the book of Leviticus, I mean, get excited. This is some awesome stuff. I mean, I was reading through it recently, and it in the book of Leviticus, it talks about how to sacrifice animals, detect mildew. It talks about purification after childbirth and proper sexual relations. I mean, this is a steamy book. But it also talks about first fruits. So we're gonna jump into first fruits here today. Let me read it for you. Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 9. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am giving you, you will reap the harvest. Bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain of the harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. On the day you wave the sheaf, you must sacrifice a burnt offering to the Lord, a lamb, a year old, without defect, together with its grain offering, 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, and an offering made to the Lord by fire, a pleasing aroma. And it's a drink offering of 1/4 of a hin of wine. You must not eat any bread or roasted or new grain until the very day that you bring this offering to the Lord, to your God. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come wherever you live. There we go, right out of Leviticus. What gives us some understanding here about first fruits, the first one is this: you have sown and now the first of your harvest is ready. In other words, first fruits comes out of what your livelihood is. It's not something extra. It's not something beyond. It really comes the first of your livelihood that you bring to the Lord, and you honor him with it, with the expectation that as he receives and blesses your first fruits, your whole year to follow is going to be blessed by him. That's the purpose of why. In verse 10, we see that. Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain of your harvest. This was the wheat harvest was actually one of the first crops that they harvested. And so what they would do is they would bundle it up into stalks before it went to the threshing floor, and they would place these sheaves or these stalks all around the field. And God says, just bring one of those. Not the whole field, not the whole bundle, just bring one of those. Not the whole, you know, round circle of 10 or 12 propped up. Just bring one of those and bring it into the house of the Lord and give it to the priest and have a wave offering before the Lord with one of that. So it's what you have sown, you have reaped, and now you're bringing the first to him. My first fruit offering was, as I recall, was only $50. It wasn't much. That was the faith level that I was operating at. And yet that $50 has huge dividends. Just ask Rachel and Nick. What am I talking about? Rachel was at a place where she desired a husband, and there didn't seem to be any eligible guys around. So she thought. And so I'm like, I actually read this in a book, and it was as a testimony of somebody. I was like, well, I'm going to do that. It worked for somebody. I'm going to do it. So I stepped in. I gave a first fruit offering. I had a prayer over that. Within about 2 or 3 months, all of a sudden, the scales fell from Rachel's eyes and Nick's eyes, and they're like, wow, God put us together. It was amazing. And so, yeah, they're together today because of a first fruit offering. Some of you think that's funny. See, this is amazing in how it works. And having another grandchild, yeah, out of it. I'm in. I have a grandchild in Nashville, and I just saw the other day he's crawling for the first time. I'm like, if you don't see me one Sunday, you know where I'm at. Man, tough on me. Grandpa here, he's down there learning to crawl, and I'm not taking pictures. All right, let's move on here. It's brought to the priest to wave before the Lord. Isn't that fun? I think that's fun that God says, I want you to bring this off and wave it before. You know, when you wave at people, what happens? They wave back, don't they? And doesn't it bring a smile to your face when you actually wave at somebody and they wave back? So God says, I want you to make this a wave offering. I want you to lift it up and wave it before me. And guess what he does? He waves back. And he says, I'm smiling about that. And I'm going to bless you. That's so creative of God. I think that's really fun too. Verse 11 says, he is to wave, this is talking about the high priest, he is to wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. The next one is, there's an accompanied sacrifice. There's an accompanied sacrifice. In verses 12 and 13, on the day that you wave the sheaf, you must sacrifice a burnt offering to the Lord, a lamb a year old without defect, together with grain and 2/3 of an ephah, the finest of flour mixed with olive oil. Again, we have to translate that over into our time. That was obviously an agriculturally based society. We get that. We understand that. They did have money. But in this case, it was actually the tangible thing, the work of their hand that they brought to the Lord. But there was a sacrifice. In other words, they could have taken the first fruits and they could have spent it. They could have saved it. They could have given it away. But instead, they brought it to the Lord as an honor gift for him. And as a result, God smiled back and blesses. The third point there is it's considered an honor gift pleasing to the Lord. Verse 13b, a food offering presented to the Lord, a pleasing aroma. And it's a drink offering in a quarter of a hin of wine. In other words, God, when he sees that, it's pleasing to him. It's like it has good smells to it. He's just like, wow, that is so pleased. And guess what? When God is pleased, guess what happens to us? Good things happen when God is pleased. When God is not pleased, good things don't happen. So it's good to please God and learn how to do that. So if I could just simplify, I would say this. The first fruit is not, let me just back up and say it this way. The first fruit is not because of any sin that you've committed. The other offerings were related to things that we needed to make restitution for. So we brought an offering and to make it right with God so that we'd be good. But that's not what a first fruit. It's not related to any sin that we've committed. It's just simply related to the fact that we want to take the first of God given us for a year and bring it before Him, lift it up to Him, and say, Lord, I honor You with being my Lord and my provider. And I thank You for being a great Father. And God says, because You've honored Me on the front end, I'm going to bless everything that comes in your future through the year in this part on, through the harvest season, basically. That's what He says. And so it's simply that we come and honor the Lord, and then He blesses us as a result of it. So God's goodness begins to flow through us in a new level and a new dimension. Number three, the practicals of giving first fruits. What's the practicals? Generally, it's given once a year. That would be a minimum. We have people here at Crossroads that give once a month because that's what God has put on their heart. But generally, it's just given once a year in the beginning of the harvest season. You'll see in Exodus 34:22, celebrate the festival of weeks and the first fruit of the wheat harvest, and the festival of ingathering in the turn of the year. Again, it mentions the turn of the year. Another scripture mentions the first. So Israel was an agriculturally based economy. Therefore, they were dependent upon the early rains and the latter rains coming. In Egypt, you had the Nile, and they would have irrigation from the Nile. But Israel didn't have, I mean, they had a river, but it wasn't necessarily that which they could irrigate from. It had its seasons where it was running, but I've been by the Jordan River. It's kind of like a creek where I grew up. I mean, it's like, oh, that's the Jordan? No, it was kind of small when I went through it about 5 years ago. So it wouldn't be beneficial to irrigate from that. So they were dependent upon the rains coming at the proper time, and that was based solely upon God. And so the soil was productive, but without the rains coming at the proper time, then they wouldn't have the harvest. Now, their harvest started essentially in three segments throughout the year. The first was the wheat and the barley, and then you had oats and peas. That would be the season in April through May. So you would harvest that, and then starting in late June and getting into July, you would harvest the sesame and the flax and the millet that would be harvested in July and August. And then the next harvest that would come along would be starting in September all the way through November, and you would have grapes and figs and pomegranates and olive oil clear up and through November. So you'd have these three segments of harvest that would happen, and God says, I want you to come on the beginning, the front end, to honor Me with the first. And then all those harvests to come will be blessed. I'll send the rains in the right way so that you'll have a prime harvest all the way through to the end of the year. And so that's what they came expecting, and that's how God blessed them with. The next thing I have there is that the first fruits is given to a person or a fund. A person or a fund. In other words, you can give it to a person that you want to grow in, or maybe they've mentored you just as a way of honoring the gift that they've given you, or you can give to a fund. We have a first fruits fund here at Crossroads. And what we do with that is we give it all outside. We give it all to outside ministries and organizations that God puts on our heart to bless. In fact, we also double honor those that come among us as guest speakers. We collect an offering from your hearts, and then we double it from our first fruits fund. And so we want to make sure that those that come among us are doubly blessed. And many speakers that come, they go, wow, this is amazing. It's just because God put it on my heart and set it up that way that we double honor those that come among us, and the Lord honors that as well. Let me read this out of Deuteronomy. It's 26, 1 to 4. When you have entered the land of the Lord your God and given you an inheritance, and have taken possession of it, and settled in, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. And then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in the office at that time, I will declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. And the priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord. There you go. So it's brought to a place, and it's also brought to the priest. Whoever's in the office. Chris is in the office. Billy's in the office. Nick's in the office. Bobby's in the office. Just kidding. No, in fact, 2 weeks from now, is we're going to have a first fruits declaration. It's going to be short, but on that Sunday, 2 weeks from now, we'll have first fruit. Because I felt like that there was many people here that are unfamiliar with first fruits, and my heart is for you to get in on it this year, okay? If God is calling you to get in on it. So we're going to do it 2 weeks from now in the service. We'll have that first fruit declaration. Now, obviously, you're a priest too, and I'm a priest. Jesus is our high priest. And that's really where the wave offering is going through. He is still our high priest today. He's alive, he's well, and he is ready to release his blessing as we are obedient to bring first fruits to him. So we take it to the Lord, and the priest makes a declaration over that. This last year, out of our first fruits fund, we gave away $71,800. Isn't that awesome? Gave away. And that went to ministries and individuals and startups and it was local, it was state, it was national and international. And it was just an exciting thing to be able to share that outside of Crossroads, to bless those ministries that the Lord has attached us with and that we want to sow into. And God delights in that, and we delight in what he is doing. So the amount given is in accordance with your expected harvest. In other words, a farmer in Haiti, their first fruits would be much different than a businessman in New York City. You know, obviously, it would be way different. I mentioned that my very first fruits was $50. My first fruits today is way more than $50. I mean, it's way more than $50, and yet I delight in doing that. Rachel commented to me when you talk about how much do we give, and she shared this with me between services, and I think this is a good gauge, is that you give at the level that your flesh starts to wiggle. And then that's probably God. You give, I don't know if $50 made my faith level, a flesh wiggle, but my faith was there. You give to the level that your faith wiggles. And then you're like, okay, yeah, led by the Spirit. So the amount given is in accordance with your expected harvest. Deuteronomy 26:15, look down from heaven. Again, the priest is calling up to God, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people Israel. The land that you have given us as promised on oath to your ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. First fruits is the only one that I've determined in Scripture that has to do with increase. The tithe doesn't have to do with increase. It has to do with positioning and protection. And the offerings, obviously, are from the abundance. But the first fruits has to do with increase. Every time that you read first fruits, even in the New Testament, Jesus is called first fruits. What was the expectation? There would be more people coming to Jesus after him raised from the dead, right? Somebody called first fruits in a region where they came to the Lord first. What's the expectation? There would be more to come to Christ in that region after the first one. And so it's always in connection with increase. That's what I've determined in understanding first fruits. And every year I seem like I learn something new and share with you as I'm learning along the way. So just to give you an example, I already shared about Rachel and Nick. Previous years I've given first fruits. In other words, I name my first fruit. I just don't leave it open-ended. I name it. I have something in mind that I want to increase in. Maybe you want to increase in the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Maybe you want to increase in patience. Maybe you want to increase in the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Maybe you have a vision that's just floundering and you want that to get some clarity this year. And so you name it in what you give. And so I've given first fruits in regard to somebody close to me that I cared about. I wanted to see spiritual transformation in their life and gave a first fruit offering. And as a result of that, I've seen changes. I haven't seen what I think God wants in their life, but I've seen some dramatic changes take place. And I know that God is working. Last year, I gave first fruits in regards to writing books. And I lagged on this one. I recognize that I didn't set myself apart to write what God had put on my heart last year. But Wanda's book went way over the top. It was like, wow, that's amazing. It just blew us out of the water. So we're married and we're one. And I take it. I think God just shifted it over here. And I'm okay. It was like, that's truly amazing. And this year I gave first fruits to someone because I believe this is a year of expansion. And God wants us to expand at all levels. And I already sent all first fruits to my overseer. And he's already lifted it up to the Lord. He and his wife lifted it up and waved it before the Lord, he told me, and said, we're off. And I'm already seeing signs of God do that. So that's just exciting to be a part of what the Lord is doing. I remember the timing. This was what happened last year that I was thinking about doing first fruits for someone, and God said, you do it today. I mean, he was just like, I was just like, boom. And so I was obedient, and I had to call this person and explain, and they received. And then after that time, immediately something happened in the evening of that day that I wasn't expecting that was related to my first fruits gift, because God said, now's the time. So there's a timing in this as well as we hear the voice of the Lord. Many people have called the church and been on our website, and I wrote an explanation of first fruits. I put in a newsletter last week. Maybe you got a chance to review that. And I was shocked that that's been viewed over 10,000 times. I was like, wow, it's not viral, but that's viral for me. I just couldn't believe it, because last year it was probably about 3,200 or so. And all of a sudden this year it just took off. I was like, wow, what happened? And many people, I'm sure there's a lot of questions and different things that people come up, but I'm glad to be able to share with the broader body of Christ the insights that the Lord has given us. Number four, benefits of first fruit. That's what you want to know about, right? Well, we got to want to know how and what and why, but here's the benefits that we're going to pull out this time. Deuteronomy 26:17. For you have declared this day that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in his ways, and that you will keep his decrees. So the first thing I want to mention about a benefit is it causes favor to come. It causes favor to come. Ezekiel 44:30, the best of all first fruits of any kind, and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest's. And also you shall give the priest first of your ground meal, here it is, to cause a blessing to rest on your house. Now all of us would want that, right? But none of us would probably think that it comes from a first fruit. And yet that's what Scripture points out. It says that a blessing will come and rest on your house. So it's way more than financial. It also has to do, it's comprehensive. The next thing that I point out is you join covenant with God for the future. We don't know what we're entering into in this year. You know, the world says we're entering into a depression or a recession. Everybody's fearful. Will the money run out? You know, we're all at this place. But yet, if we come from, not that we do get influenced by, because we live in this world, but God says, I want you to live and move and have your being from a different kingdom. And that is my kingdom. This is how my kingdom operates. And so that's what we need to understand, how God's kingdom operates using some of the elements that are in this world, such as money. So we join covenant with God for the future. Deuteronomy 26:10. And now bring the first fruits of the soil that you, the Lord your God, has given you, and place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Again, that's a indication of God, I am submitting to you this covenant together. I'm joining with you. And then look what happens. Your harvest becomes his harvest. That's a beautiful thing. So it's no longer, as I spoke last Sunday, it's no longer about you going to work. It's God and you going to work. And as you're at work and you encounter tough and hard things, that God is there with you. And you stop and ask him, and he sheds light on what he wants you to do in that difficult situation. And so your harvest becomes his harvest. Your enemies become his enemies. Your positioning becomes his positioning. And your overflow becomes his overflow. What a phenomenal way to live and grab a hold of and walk into this. And then the supernatural flow begins into your life. Just as Rachel and Nick shared their testimony in the beginning of the service, that business that they were in, not that it was drying up, it just seemed to be because of the climate and things are going on, that they wanted it to thrive and they had an opportunity to go outside of that. And then the Lord already put in their email box, the opportunity that they were going to walk into. Wow, what an amazing testimony. Again, it's the supernatural overflow that God is bringing into our life. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats brim over with new wine. Honor the Lord. And then his favor, his blessing, supernatural starts to flow. And then coming out of the New Testament in Romans chapter 11, verse 16, it says, part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. If I would have a loaf of bread here this morning, and I would just take a pinch off of that dough or loaf of bread and hold it up to the Lord and say, God, I honor you. I thank you for giving me this bread and the opportunity to know how to make it and the ability to know how to sell it and take care of my household as much as the bread grow and be able to operate a business. Lord, I just take this pinch and I hold it up for you and I honor you with it. So the pinch that I took from the bread is of the same substance of the bread that's left, right? And so God says, if you just take a pinch, just a sheaf, just a portion, that then the remainder, the year to come, would be blessed as well, would be set apart, would be holy unto the Lord. So again, it's us understanding how to walk into the kingdom and understand how the kingdom works. And this is what I'm bringing forth for you today. I want you to understand and hear me that finances is only a convenient way to offer first fruits. But the benefits that come are not reserved to only finances. You see, the benefits that come is peace of mind and heart. It is fruit of the Spirit being more evident in our life. It's the gifts of the Spirit flowing freely so that people can know that they're loved. It's understanding and insight. It's faith in decision making. It's you speaking into strength and healing and vision for what God has called you to do and us to do together. Finances is only one sliver of that. But when God brings his kingdom, it's way much more. It's holistic. It's peace of mind in our heart. And it's joy when things around us aren't joyful, and its ability to respond differently than the world is responding. That is the favor and the supernatural flow of God in our life. And he says that it all starts when we bring a first fruit to him and honor him and receive that blessing from him. So again, in 2 weeks, we're going to have those of you that are participating in First Fruits will give you a chance just to stand and have that blessing pronounced over your life. Now, I want to just address one thing yet, I want to address the thing that if I don't participate in First Fruits, am I sinning? And the answer to that is no, you're not. The question I would have back to you is, are you satisfied with where you're at in life? Are you satisfied in your growth in the Lord? Are you satisfied with your financial state? Are you satisfied with where your relationships are? Are you satisfied that you have enough faith to weather what the world throws at you? Are you satisfied? That's how I would come back to you. But are you sinning if you don't do first fruits? No, you're not. It's just an opportunity to get in the kingdom of what God is doing. Start where your faith is. Now, someone might ask to say, you know, I need numbers. Well, this is actually a principle in nature. It's not just a Christian principle. It's a principle in nature. The way God set it up, He set it up that when you plant a crop, that 1/40th to 1/60th comes due first. Like, you know, tomatoes, two tomatoes ripen and all the rest are green. Green beans, there's three green beans that are ripe and all the rest are growing. He set it up that way. I have a tree in my backyard. It's a sassafras tree. It's happened every year that I've noticed it. It's one of the most gorgeous trees in the fall when it turns. It has it's just multicolored. But every year I noticed that while the tree is still green, there's one branch about this big, and it turns. It turns to the color of where the tree's going to come in a couple of weeks. It gives me a preview of what's coming. That's first fruits. I don't know if any other tree does that, but it does it in my yard. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. I never thought about it before. And then I noticed it 2 years consecutive, that branch just turns and all the rest is still green. He said, that's first fruits. That's what's come. This whole tree is going to be just endorsed in just amazing, brilliant colors for you to enjoy for a season. And it happened first, and then the rest follows. Some of you might be here and you say, I don't know if I have the faith to try this. I want to pray for you in a moment. Just pray for you. That God will just open up your heart. Maybe go back and study the message or read and go on the internet and read some more. Say, maybe I just don't have the faith to enter in. I'll just pray for you for a little bit here. Maybe you're here this morning and one of the things that says first fruits in the Bible is that those that were in an area and they came to Christ for the first time, your first fruit gift could be starting of making Jesus Lord of your life. I mean, that would be an incredible first fruit that you would never regret in your life. Your life would be changed. Your relationships will be changed. Your families will be changed because of that decision of giving your life as a first fruit offering to the Lord. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to understand how your kingdom works, Lord. And sometimes we grow up in life and we end up doing things like the world and thinking like the world and wondering why things aren't working. But your kingdom, you declare, is advancing. We have ebbs and flows in our life, but your kingdom is increasing. So, Lord, I pray that you would just work with us in this level of understanding so that we could receive all that you have for us in this area of first fruits. Now, I just want to ask, is anybody here to say, I want to give my life to Christ this morning? I've been putting it off long enough. I've been thinking about it. I'm here today, but I want to give my life to Christ today. I want to be a first fruit right now. If that's you, just raise up your hand. Really not for me to see as much as for God to see, because he's the one that's going to change your heart. Anybody here this morning? First fruits to the Lord. Maybe you've strayed away. Maybe you've drifted. And you say, you know what? Today I'm coming back and coming back strong. Maybe that characterizes where you're at. Anybody in that category? Coming back today strong. All right. We're all family then. That's cool. Now I want to pray for anybody that says, I'm not sure I have the faith. I've heard your message. I'd like to, but I'm not sure I have the faith to really enter in. Does that characterize anybody? Just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody here? Say, I'm just unsure about my faith. Anybody here? Wow. That's cool. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you again, God, that you are moving in our midst, Lord. And may you, again, at the level that we're at, in the obedience that you have given us, Lord, I pray that we will be obedient to what you say. Not what I say, but what you say. And I thank you, Lord, that as we measure out, you measure back. In Jesus' name, amen.